From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. You're listening through voanews.id or our application RRI Play Go. And we from the Voice of Indonesia will be bringing you more information about Indonesia. Like the first one is the news, so stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. The Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Bekasi, Jabodetabek Light Rail Transit LRT will be operational in June 2022. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo at the Jakarta LRT station on Wednesday. As reported by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo stated the government is optimistic that the trial will begin in April 2022. He made the statement after testing the Jabodetabek LRT with the route from Haryamukti Station to the Cibubur Taman Mini Indonesia Indah Station. On the occasion, President Widodo was accompanied by Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi, Minister of State Secretary Pratikno, and other related officials. President Joko Widodo believes this integration will make mass transportation more efficient. Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of RRI, held again a diplomatic forum virtually with the theme Global Cooperation in Overcoming the Next Wave of COVID-19 at the Auditorium Yusuf Rono Dipuro of RRI in Jakarta. The theme is related to the spike of coronavirus transmissions in many countries in the world. The event was attended by Acting Charge d'Affaires of Malaysian Embassy to Indonesia, Jakarta, Adlan Shafiq, Epidemiologist Diki Budiman, Director of Voice of Indonesia, RRI Edi Ivan, and many others. Based on the data of Our World on June 6, there have been more than 2.12 billion doses of COVID-19 vaccine given to many countries. The data stated that China led by contributing 763,007 million doses of vaccine, followed by the U.S. with 300,027 million doses. The number has not reached the need of vaccination that must be carried out in many countries. Adlan Shafiq at the agenda also said that all countries must mutually give assistance to fulfill vaccination for other countries. He further said that Malaysia and Indonesia support each other in producing their own vaccine.
I guess that is the global scenario. In fact, even the cooperation in the regional or ASEAN area, we saw that ASEAN established this COVID-19 fund for countries to contribute to the fund, whereby other countries can use the fund to purchase medical equipments and so on. Right now, it's more so important. Coming to 2021, it's even more important. Now we are moving forward. We have enough equipments, but we do not have enough vaccines. Especially countries like Malaysia, like Indonesia, we do not have enough vaccines. That's why our inoculation process is not as fast as we wanted it to be. And Malaysia, together with Indonesia, we are very supportive of looking into the intellectual property of vaccines, you know, to allow other countries to have access, and we can also produce our own vaccines.
Meanwhile, Director of Voice of Indonesia, RRI, Edi Ivan explained the difficult challenge in tackling the pandemic is by maintaining health and economic sector without being paralyzed. He said that nowadays, some countries are overwhelmed to face the second wave of COVID-19. The number of patients who need treatment increase. He also added that the health facilities such as gas cylinders are limited. Therefore, Ivan stated that it needs global cooperation and solidarity to overcome the spread of COVID-19. New variants of the COVID-19 virus in many countries such as in the UK, India and Malaysia have emerged. The variants are feared to defeat the current vaccine. Even the variants trigger the second or third wave of the spread of COVID-19 in the world such as India, Japan and Malaysia. In response to this case, epidemiologist D.K. Budiman in a virtual diplomatic forum with the team Global Cooperation in Overcoming the Next Wave of COVID-19 at the Auditorium Yusuf Rono Dipuro of RRI Jakarta explained that Indonesia is currently still experiencing the spread of the first wave of COVID-19. He further said, it is predicted that Indonesia will experience the peak of the spread of the COVID-19 in the first wave at the end of June 2021.
We are still in the first wave of our pandemic. So when we measure whether we are still in the first or already reached the peak, we have to see the growth rate in epidemiology. So the growth rate of our pandemic still in positive way. So it means we are still in the first wave. But now we are approaching the peak of our first wave, which is we estimate and predict it's end of this June and until maybe early of July. I already discussed this prediction with the Ministry of Health since before, I think, on February or March this year.
Furthermore, D.K. Budiman stated that Indonesia must be able to mitigate the spread of COVID-19 because the peak of the spread will be worse if the handling is not prepared properly. He further said that as an archipelago country, Indonesia must make appropriate plan in each region in overcoming the spread of the deadly virus. The government is readying a stimulus package to expedite the completions of the Indonesian Deepwater Development IDD project in order to accord priority to it for maintaining national oil and gas production. The government supports the development of new fields to exploit the existing oil and gas sources. It was said by Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Arifin Tasrif in a statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, as reported by Antara News Agency. According to the Upstream Oil and Gas Special Regulatory Task Force SKK Migas report, the projected domestic demand for fuel oil currently reaches 1.4 million barrels per day, with the refinery production's capacity of some 800,000 barrels, so that the shortage of the supply must be covered from imported products. To meet the domestic oil requirements, the government will maximize all upstream oil and gas potentials in order to produce fuel to meet the needs of the community and industry. Let's move on to the international news. U.S. President Joe Biden has launched his first official overseas trip with the warning of to Russia that it faces robust and meaningful consequences if it engages in harmful activities. As quoted by BBC.com, Biden made clear his intention to strengthen ties with U.S. allies following strained relations under the Trump administration. President Biden arrived in the UK on Wednesday. He will meet Prime Minister Boris Johnson to agree a new Atlantic Charter. The pact will be a modern version of the one agreed between Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt in 1941, with a focus on challenges including climate change and security. The BBC political editor Laura Gunsberg says the two are aiming to refresh a vital relationship after the turbulence of the Trump years and the pressures of the pandemic. During a PAC 8-day European visit, Biden will meet the Queen at Windsor Castle, attend a G7 leaders meeting, and join his first NATO summit as president. The health authorities said in statement on Thursday that China reported 21 new coronavirus cases in the mainland for June 9, up from 16 cases a day earlier. As reported by Reuters.com, the National Health Commission said that of the new cases, 6 were local transmission from the southern province of Guangdong, China. Also reported 27 new asymptomatic infection compared with 9 a day earlier. China does not classify symptomless infections as a confirmed cases. By Wednesday, China had a total of 91,337 confirmed infections. Its death toll stood unchanged at 4,636. When Olympic organizers shifted the marathon event from Tokyo to the northern city of Sapporo, they did so because of concerns about the intense summer heat in the Japanese capital. As reported by Reuters.com, 2 years down the track, critics says organizers have effectively leaped from the frying pan into the fire. Sapporo is currently under a COVID-19 state of emergency amid a resurgence in coronavirus infections. Officials in the city say they still don't have key information, including the number of athletes to expect and details on health facilities, while oppositions from residents to hosting parts of the world's biggest multi-sporting events has grown. Takashi Okugi, a Sapporo City officials in charge of Olympic preparation, explained that there's no action yet. The city officials does not have enough time. Listener, that was the news.
The Electronic Information and Transaction Law, or in Indonesia we call it UU ITE, has been criticized by many because it contains many ambiguous articles which potentially disturbs the freedom of democracy. Therefore, the government is finally ready to revise the law with the House of Representatives. According to the plan, the law will be included in the Priority National Legislative Program of 2021 through the mid-year evaluation mechanism by the House. In a meeting with the House's Commission 3 on Wednesday, the Law and Human Rights Minister Yasona Lauli said the revision aims to overcome the ambiguous articles in the Electronic Information and Transaction Law. He said the revision will reduce the related cases brought into the legal process since the articles will be more clear. Nevertheless, the minister said that the law is still necessary to prevent bad influences of the internet. Meanwhile, Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Mahfud MD affirmed that the limited revision will be done to some controversial articles and will follow the president's direction. Previously, President Joko Widodo had announced the plan to revise the Electronic Information and Transaction Law following criminalization that utilizes the ambiguous articles. The president said,
if the law cannot create a sense of justice, he would ask the House to revise it. He also asked the National Police to be more selective in responding and processing the electronic information and transaction violation reports. Well, in this digital era, the freedom of expression becomes easier and more accessible. Without the ambiguous articles and the potential criminalization, the electronic information and transaction law should help create the boundaries to make people respect each other according to the norms and ethics.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kanshan kakudai wo防ぎ mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zheng que pei dai kou zhao, yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni. 你的口罩, 保护我.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19. En portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, today in history start with the event on June 10, 1947, when Republic of Indonesia-Egypt Friendship Treaty was signed in Cairo. Junior Minister of Foreign Affairs Haji Agus Salim led a diplomatic mission to Egypt to garner international support for Indonesia's independence. The visit resulted in the Indonesia-Egypt Friendship, Politics and Trade Agreement signed on June 10, 1947. With the friendship agreement, Egypt was at the time the only country that recognized Indonesia's sovereignty, de facto, and the euro. This agreement was the first victory of Indonesian diplomacy abroad, as well as the failure of the Netherlands to prevent the recognition of Indonesian sovereignty abroad. Next event was in 1967, when Six-Day War ends. The Six-Day War, or the 1967 Arab-Israeli War, was a war between Israel and a combination of three Arab countries, namely Egypt, Jordan, and Syria. Three of them also received active assistance from Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, and Algeria. The war lasted for 132 hours 30 minutes, or less than 6 days. Only on the Syrian front alone, the war lasted 6 full days. At the end of the war, Israel captured East Jerusalem, the Gaza Strip, the Sinai Peninsula, the West Bank, and the Golan Heights. The results of this war affect the geopolitics of the Middle East region to this day. last event was in 2009, inauguration of the Suramadu Bridge between Madura Island and Java Island. Suramadu National Bridge is a bridge that crosses the Madura Strait connecting Java Island and Madura Island. With a length of 5,438 meters, the bridge is the longest bridge in Indonesia today. The bridge was officially opened by President Megawati Soekarnoputri on August 20, 2003 and inaugurated by President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono on June 10, 2009. The construction of this bridge is aimed at accelerating development on the island of Madura, covering the infrastructure and economy in Madura. Because it connects two islands, the technology for the construction of the Suramadu Bridge is designed to allow ships to pass under the bridge. Well, listener, that's Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
See the secret.
are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, on voanews.id or application RRI Play Go. The next one will be by Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Marine ecosystem damage is mostly caused by humans. Based on the data, million tons of household waste pollute the Indonesian waters annually, especially plastic. That was stated by the Minister of Maritime and Fisheries Sakti Wahyu Trenggono in a written statement during the World Ocean Day on Tuesday. The minister also warned that besides waste, damaged coral reefs and mangrove are also issues of Indonesian seas. Minister Trenggono explained the government has enforced some restoration programs. The Maritime and Fishery Ministry, through the National Economic Restoration Program 2020, had succeeded in restoring 74.3 hectares of various coral reef structures in the coast of Bali, such as Nusa Dua, Pandawa, Sanur, and Serangan and Buleleng. The Marine Management Directorate last year had also planted almost 3 million mangrove trees that cover 446,000.8 hectare area. This surpassed the target of 200 hectares. In total, the Maritime and Fishery Ministry had restored around 3,000 hectares of mangrove. Meanwhile, at the international level, Indonesian government is actively joining forums or dialogues on marine health. In 2009, Indonesia initiated the movement to keep and use sustainably the ocean and coral reefs across the Coral Triangle. Minister Sakti Wahyu Trenggono also asked the people to join in keeping the marine health by restoring the coral and mangrove across the nation, as well as to stop littering.
Take it or leave it, 'cause it's once in a lifetime. I'm so tired of frowning. Too scared to admit it, but I'm so close to the limit. Never gonna be what you want anymore. Take it or leave it. Just take it or leave it. Take it or leave it. Just take it or leave it. I'm too scared to admit it, but I'm so close to the limit. Never gonna be what you want anymore.
Listener, more information about Indonesia is coming up shortly. For example, it is an information about Indonesian tourism or maybe the local wisdom of Indonesian people. Next, Indonesian Wonder.
On June 1st, President Joko Widodo became a ceremony inspector to commemorate the birthday of Pancasila. The ceremony was held at the courtyard of the Pancasila building of the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Central Jakarta. he acted as the inspector virtually through the Bogor Presidential Palace. Interestingly, when leading the ceremony to commemorate the birthday of Pancasila, President Joko Widodo appeared to wear the traditional apparel from Tanah Bumbu, South Kalimantan. So for today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I'm going to introduce you traditional apparel of Tanah Bumbu. At the ceremony to commemorate the birthday of Pancasila, President Joko Widodo wore black clothes and matched it with a distinctive green patterned hat. This is the traditional apparel from Tanah Bumbu. The traditional apparel of Tanah Bumbu, Bugis Pagatan, is characterized by the use of Pagatan woven fabrics. This apparel is used as a sarong and also a laung or head covering. The meaning of the sarong used in this traditional dress is a symbol of skilled and hardworking humans. Laung symbolizes authority and might. While the inside of the shirt is called Teluk Balana, which is a symbol of the religious clothes of the archipelago, the trousers and belt worn also have meaning. The pants are symbols of loyalty, and a cloth belt represents a symbol of simplicity. As a compliment, there is a flower or gold flower on the left chest as a symbol of a wise leader. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder.
Well then, listener, the next one will be an information about Indonesia. Well, mostly it's about innovation. The next one is miscellany.
The Ministry of Tourism, Creative Economy, Tourism and Creative Economy Agency introduced a creative food packaging product made from betel nut midrib called lepah at a media meeting held on Thursday. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Head of the Tourism and Creative Economy Agency, Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno, accompanied by expert staff for Innovation and Creativity, Joshua Puji Mulia Simanjuntak, along with Plepah Team Representative, Rengkuh Banyu Mahandaru, presented products that they hope could be solutions to the global issue trash. Plepah products are processed betel nut trees waste as an alternative economic income for the people of South Sumatra and Jambi. The products in the form of plates and food packaging are sturdy, waterproof, and heat resistant up to 200 degrees Celsius so that they can be put in the oven and microwave and decompose in the soil in 60 days. Was initiated by community-driven innovation dealing with the waste problem, in which the most waste is styrofoam waste. According to Minister Sandiaga Uno, Food Loss Community-driven innovation has implemented adaptation, collaboration, and innovation. Adapting to environmental issues, the community collaborates with the Musi Banyuasin government and the local communities. The innovation provides solutions for the environment, social matters, and it creates jobs, avoids and reduces the use of styrofoam. From research in 18 cities, the contribution of styrofoam waste is 0.27 to 0.59 tons in Indonesia waters. This is worrying for marine biota. Therefore, the solution created is to present food packaging from natural materials such as betel nut midrib. This basic materials are commonly found in oil palm plantation and rubber plantations. In addition, this creative product also opens up wide employment for the local community. Quoted from the official Plepah website, this product was developed because of concerns about organic waste, which is considered garbage, then cannot be processed. Therefore, organic waste such as betel nut midrib is developed into a product of economic value through the role of community empowerment. This product consists of an eco-friendly disposal plate and a packaged lunch box. That's miscellany.
Lapa, aja. Coba sini, tengok-tengok saya. Kata orang saya mirip Raisa. Hai kamu yang cantik dan manis, sini ku hibur pakai bahasa Inggris. Are you smiling? Atau meringis? But I gotta say, I love you man. Pop sudah hadir di sini.
Is in the house, yo man. Let me tell you something about this song. Check it out. Tidak perlu pantai jika ingin bersantai. Dengarlah lagu ini lewat headphone yang kau pakai. Nikmati sambil tanganmu melambai-lambai. Baru bilang bye-bye, eh sudah sampai.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Welcome to Getting Overdriving van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
We have been giving you so many information and also so many songs from Indonesia. The next one will be a song, but there's a little bit information about it. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The song Serah Cinta is one of Vina Panduwinata's popular singles. The song was composed by Odi Agam and it was released in 1986 in the album entitled Cium Pipiku. The song tells about the feelings of someone who gets a love letter. At that time, technology was not as advanced as it's today. So, do not be surprised if the letter is a medium commonly used to give an expression of love to someone. Listener, here is Vina Panduwinata with Surat Cinta.
Warnanya pun merah hati, bagai bingkisan pertama. Tak sabar ku buka, satu dua dan tiga. Aku mulai membaca surat cintaku yang pertama. Tak bikin hatiku berdebar seperti melodi yang indah. Ada kata cintanya surat cintaku yang pertama.
Indonesia.
tibaku tertekuk, lubuk hatiku tersentuh. Perahu kecil terayun nelayan tua di sana. Tiga malam bulan telah menghilang, langit sepi walau tak bermega. Tiba-tiba ku sadari lagu burung camar tadi cuma kisah sedih nada duka. Camar tinggi melayang bersahutan di paling awan, kini membawa anganku yang hati melayang jatuh dia kaki-kakiku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Cinta yang ada hasratmu, ada kumismu, ada kupingmu di dalam dadaku. Ada kamu.
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. We are expecting any opinion from you, so feel free to send it to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and also you can send it to our email, voi@voinews.id. We hope that your opinion will help us to bring you better information about Indonesia. Well, the listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.